chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm delighted to have Liz O'Keefe on the show today. Liz is the CEO of Technical Productions, Inc. Liz, my sister, girl, I'm so excited to have you on.
I'm so excited to be here, Lisa.
I am too. We've been saying this for a while. I'm like, Liz, you got to come on the show. So it's working out and I'm just so grateful. And you know, I was just thinking, I always love to think about connections, right? And the people that come into our life. And you and I have not known one another that long, but I feel like we have, you know.
And I know you in your heart and soul, and it only took us a little while to get there.
It did. Yeah. So you and I, we got connected because you joined the Rooted Sisters. We can talk about that if we have time. But, you know, I was thinking about it. It was such a blessing. It's such a blessing to have you in my orbit. And I remember, Liz, we did not know each other that long. And our daughter, Paige, started experiencing her health issues. And you immediately reached out to me and just encouraged me and said, hey, is it okay if you probably don't even remember this, but you said, is it okay if I write Paige a letter?
Aww.
And I said, yes. And I gave you our home address. And then, you know, in comes this gorgeous, beautiful handwriting, just thoughtful and encouraging letter to Paige. And it's something you probably don't remember, but I do. And I know Paige does too.
I do remember that. And I'll tell you why, because every once in a while, somebody will express some beautiful vulnerability that will strike a chord in me. And I always want to encourage that. And I always want to just breathe life into more of that, because every good thing that's ever happened to me has come from a space that started just like that. And it's hard and it's scary to put yourself out there like that. But she said she posted some vulnerable personal stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was so moved by her ability to express herself and all the people that she would inspire and help that came after her, that mm-hmm. I just wanted her to know it. And it didn't matter that I didn't even know her. That's why I just wanted to write her a letter and tell her I thought she was beautiful and what she was doing was really valuable.
Well, it meant a lot, and our words do mean a lot, right? And, you know, I just posted something this morning. Take a look at it on LinkedIn. But Jordan did a hike up Jack's Mountain in Utah and ran across this rock that said, be kind. And, you know, we honestly, our whole day, our whole life is made up of just choices.
All day, every day.
All day, every day. And we have a choice of how we're going to show up. We have a choice of the words that we use. And your family is just precious. So, you know, that's just who you are, Liz. You're a bright light, a positive voice, and just a dear, loyal friend to me. And I'm grateful for it. But let's talk about growing up. So I don't really think you and I have ever talked about this. I don't even know if you grew up in St. Louis. We've not ever talked about this, but I do know a couple things about you. I do know a couple things. And I know one of the things is you grew up loving tennis. In fact, sometimes you would play 5 or 6 hours a day.
I would. Every summer when I was growing up. So I kind of taught myself. My brother and sister were older than me. I did grow up in St. Louis, born and raised, and they were 6 and 7 years older than me, and they always played together, but I didn't have that. And I did enjoy tennis. So I taught myself in my driveway and in my little carport. I had a brick wall that I played against when I was growing up. And then when I got a little older, I wanted to hit the ball harder and I was too close. So I went around to the other side and I played in this tiny little brick wall that was in between two double door garages. And all was okay until I wasn't quite as accurate and I blew the window out and that was the end of that.
Oh, blew the window out.
I blew the window out in the garage. Yep. That was the end of my tennis, my hard hitting tennis days. But I did play a whole bunch over the summers. In Colorado, went to Camp of Colorado, and I played 2.5 hours in the morning and 2.5 hours in the afternoon. And I loved it, and I never really got any formal training, so I had to relearn how to. And I quit for a long time, 25 years. I quit, and then when my kids were young, we started playing at a local club around here. They got some lessons, and it wasn't 20 seconds later that their networker, you know, was sort of in my inbox wondering if maybe we might want to take a lesson with a pro. And then my husband and I got back into it, and we still play today. We play all the time. Both my husband and I play competitive tennis. My son and my daughter both play. So we get to do that as a family.
That's great. Family. How fun is that? Yeah. How fun is that? Well, there's one other thing I know about you. I know when you were a little girl that you had some sort of rash on your feet.
Warts on my feet.
You had warts on your feet. And and we talked about that. Tell me that story, because it was scary.
This was a beautiful story. So I grew up in not a big faith-filled family. And I was baptized a Catholic, and my brother and sister were baptized Catholic. And you know, my dad was raised a Catholic. But my memories in childhood were not that we didn't go to church every Sunday. So I remember being faith-filled, and I had warts on my feet, and I was really scared. I didn't want to. My mom had booked an appointment to go get them frozen off, and I was young. I was 3 or 4, and I thought that sounded really scary and that was really going to hurt. And so I went out into this little garden in my front yard, and I never spent any time there really, but I really vividly remember going out there and praying. Just praying to God that he would take my warts away so that I wouldn't have to go get them frozen off the next day. And the next day I woke up and I didn't have any warts on my feet and I didn't have to go get them frozen off.
Isn't that beautiful? I mean, God miraculously healed your feet, but it's you amazing. Know, and you've gone back and reconnected with that story as an adult now, you know? So I was just thinking about that, Liz, and it's like, you know, God had his hand on you. God was looking at your heart before you really even knew really who he was.
100% before I knew who he was. And it's childlike faith like that. It's like everywhere in the Bible. Now that I know more about it, you see stories of miraculous healing and things when people have childlike faith, mm-hmm. when their belief is so strong, that's when he shows up. And interesting that I would take that, you know, that beautiful story from when I was a little girl. And then I would, but, you know, become a very hard worker and a type A plus type of person. And I would go through all these things in my life. And somehow I was always been a very spiritual person, but I didn't keep my godlike, childlike faith in the forefront of my life when I was out producing and being a good student and then becoming a professional. You know, when it gets tough, when times get dark, you find your way back into a chapel, right? Yes. But every day was, you know, I didn't start my day in the Word. Every day. And for the majority of my life was like that. So it was interesting to reconnect and get sort of re-faith filled. And then to remember that story. I remembered that story. We were sitting together at dinner. Yeah. I just love that. And so it was wonderful to be able to look back on that and say, wow, he really did walk with me all that time.
Mm-hmm. He was with you all the time. Yeah. I love it. Well, so is there anything else about your family did you have mentors, you know, were your older siblings mentors to you? Did you guys have good relationship?
I came from a great family. I mean, my family is strong and, ambitious and entrepreneurial. And, you know, my dad, I lost my dad when I was 22, but he was just a man chock full of integrity and honesty. And I had beautiful role models with my mom and my dad. And I have an older brother who's a home builder in St. Louis and also entrepreneurial. My sister is a professional matchmaker and she has 1,300 marriages underneath her belt. So she's also entrepreneurial. And I don't think that I was destined to marry an entrepreneur, which I did. I wasn't an entrepreneur when I married him, but actually, you know what? I had actually run I had run two businesses on my own by the time I met him when I was 25. So I can't say
you
that.
Really were.
Yes, yeah. I was. But at the time I was working in motion graphics and doing post-production for television. And then I met him. He had started a company in live event production in 1989. And it just seemed fitting after a while that I would come over and if I was working that hard for anybody with my type A plus personality, I might as well be putting it in my own pocket. So that's
exactly what
joined forces with him.
Yeah. So I think you maybe spent close to 10 years with other companies,
yes.
You know, being creative directors, et cetera, et cetera. And then 1998, you decided to come over and join Michael with technical production. So, you know, I want to read something here that I just think is so beautiful about technical productions. Here's what you say. Imagine a speech that changed your life, the chills you got during a commercial, or your favorite vocal artist bringing you to tears by just being with them in the moment. At Technical Productions, Inc., we bring those moments to life. Our mission is to craft extraordinary, and I love this, life-changing experiences that impact each audience and truly make a difference in the lives that we touch. We create engagement. We paint pictures with light and evoke emotions with video and inspire audiences with life-changing speeches. So I love how you describe that because it is an experience. And I personally, Liz, have gotten to experience you guys a couple of times.
Because you have.
You guys produced a Rooted Sister Christian Businesswoman's Breakfast for us. You produced that. And then you produce the Independent Center Dancing with the St. Louis Stars.
I sure did.
And that was really so fun. I couldn't believe it last year when I walk in because I got the pleasure of emceeing that event. And you're like, hey, sister. And I'm like, what are you doing? Are you producing this? And she said, yes, ma'am. I'm here to light you up.
That was so good. That was so fun to put you underneath my lights.
That was so fun. So fun. So, you know, I'm just saying for any listeners out there. Okay. So if you're looking for that significant other, reach out to Liz so she can connect you to her sister. 1,300, I think you said.
Yes.
Matches.
I'm her favorite.
You're her favorite match. And then secondly, if you need an event production company, I mean, they just do beautiful, amazing work and do it with excellence. So that's what I would say about that. But you guys have had the opportunity, Liz, to do a lot of really cool events and cool venues. Are there a few things that really stand out to you? Like were there a couple?
There are. It's easy to get excited about household names. And when I've done production design for some fancy schmancy type people, and you can throw around names like Toby Keith and Carrie Underwood, and you can get really excited about that. And it is really glorifying to be able to help them do their job on stage. That was really rewarding. But I think even more than that now is to be able to craft these events to help people change the lives. I mean, COVID was a really humbling time for people in my space. And there are a lot of people just like us who don't get to stand and tell the story today. And it was a time where a lot of hardworking people, just like my husband and me, just fell by the wayside. So it was December of 2019 that I wrote my husband a big check and we became woman owned at Technical Productions. And 3 months later, we walked into this global pandemic where, you know, I've got a warehouse filled with gear that I can't rent to anybody for 2 years. And so I will never forget hugging my husband on the beach in March and praying about, you know, what's it going to look like? And I have those pictures in my office and I remind myself of those times every day. And during that summer, we really, we had a couple of different choices. We had two sides of our business. One of them was in live event production, which became illegal overnight. And the other side does, you know, permanent installations in schools and universities and houses of worship. We design and renovate theaters. So we put all of our eggs in that basket and sort of, you know, it's not that we reinvented a whole new vertical, but we had already been in that space for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we put all of our eggs in that basket because mm-hmm. we knew that's where we need to be. And then my husband and I and my daughter and my 155-pound dog got in our car and we drove to 370 churches in that summer. And we handed out literature with masks and gloves on and asked them if we could help them with their parking lot worship or maybe upgrade their streaming services and find a way to help them keep their congregations together at a time when they weren't allowed to gather. And we mm-hmm. figured that was a place where we could make the most impact at a time where we didn't really know what our future was going to look like. And there was a time when my accountants told us that it was all over. Just go on in on Tuesday and tell everybody it's over and you know, go file for unemployment, sell your gear out the back. And we had to get really creative in order to figure out a way to muddle our way through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much packed in there, Liz. So much packed in there. You know, the willingness and the recognition that you need to pivot. Sometimes we do, right? None of us could have predicted a global pandemic, you know, but I mean, you could have just laid down and said, wow, I mean, this ruined our business, but you guys stuck in. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I could be wrong on this. I don't think you laid people off.
We didn't.
No, you didn't.
We didn't. And that was a God's grace kind of a thing. We had used to have been in previous years, you know, 17 to 22 people strong. And by the time we had taken a look under the hood and sort of reinvented some processes and asked some people to evolve with us. And some of them evolved with us for a little while and some of them didn't want to do that. And I appreciate that. So we had, I don't want to say we had thinned our herd before the pandemic, but that had sort of naturally happened. Mm-hmm. And we didn't cheat the government and we didn't lay off our people. And the majority of our business did that. They just furloughed everybody and mm-hmm. we didn't do that. We did have to let one person go and I cried about it and it was hard. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, we all took massive pay cuts and we dug in and we sold gear out the back and we drove the countryside and somehow we made it through on the other side. And I made promises out there on those days, not wondering whether it was time for me to pray for, you know, should I be okay about a new beginning? Is it okay to close this chapter or am I supposed to fight? And it was my daughter who encouraged me to fight. And I can't believe I haven't told you this story yet. She said, think of a time when you guys were at the top of your game, when you were designing beautiful things out of thin air. You are no different today than you were on that day. Dig your heels in and you fight. And that's what we did. And that was a beautiful time. That was a really pivotal day. And then I went and told my parents that I was going to fight, went and visited them at the mausoleum. And then I called my brother and he helped me out. And that was, you know, that was the beginning of a new day.
Oh, that is such a beautiful story. Yeah, I love Cameron. What a precious young woman. She's kind of an old soul. She's young, but she's an old soul.
She is the oldest soul.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm going to ask you a question that I get asked a lot. A lot. How is it working with your husband? You know, how do you guys establish boundaries? You know, I mean, I know for us, we didn't do it right all the time, Liz, in the beginning. We would talk strategy at dinner. We would talk strategy when we're on vacation. We'd take a walk. We're talking strategy. And finally, I'm like, I don't want to talk. You know, I mean, you have to do it because I think we made our kids sick, you know, just always talking business, you know. But, you know, what are your life hacks to keep things in balance? I mean, tell me about working with Michael.
It's been an extraordinarily lucky road to have been married to that man who I still find more inspirational than anyone I have ever met. And there was a period of time where we were working together and he was running the ship and I was managing, but I was helping. And I'm a strong-willed girl. I got some opinions that are kind of loud. And I think one time I may have voiced an opinion that was in disagreement with him in front of a group. And I did that only one time, right? And then I realized after a very short discussion that was very courteous on both sides, that is not, that doesn't put us in alignment with anybody. I don't need to be right about anything. And so that one time that I think I made, I don't want to call it a critical error, but I made a decisive moment in time to never do that and to be a united front and an aligned front. And so it has been a really graceful walk working with my husband, and especially during COVID, we've evolved in a really interesting way. There's so many different ways we could have evolved. I mean, we have been married almost 30 years. We've been working together for 25 of them. And there are so many different ways that we could have, so many different roads we could have been on. And somehow we have always remained in alignment. We go our different ways, but we usually want the same things. In the end, we always want the same thing. Sometimes we divert a little. So it's been easy to strategize. I won't say we turn it off. We definitely don't turn it off.
And it's hard to turn it off. Right.
I don't have a choice now because we've been in, you know, we've been rebuilding a business post pandemic, but I, you know, I like and love my husband now more than I ever have. And that's amazing. So the fact that we can rebuild something and have an entirely new staff, in the past 15 months is extraordinary. So it's been an incredible amount of work, but I'm so grateful for it. And we have grown together in building something again. I mean, I think we're on like our fifth version. I'm calling it TPI 5.0. It's so good. And it's so gratifying that we're able to do that together.
To build it together. Yeah.
We love each other. It's amazing.
Yeah. Greg is my best friend. You know, he's my best friend. And, but yeah, we could probably spend a whole podcast just talking because I could tell all the mistakes. But I've done the same thing, Liz, where I, like, you know, spoke and, you know, it's just like, no, I need to, you know, that's something you have that conversation in private, you know, that I don't really agree with this or that, you know.
Yeah. One thing I did learn, which is really powerful, is from a design perspective, I don't need anybody except for him. I 100% need his brain and he 100% needs my brain. And outside of that, we can hire anything else out. That's an extraordinary position to be in.
That is. Yeah, I agree.
I'm super grateful.
Oh, it's beautiful. Well, you know what? I've got so much more here I need to talk about, but we need to take a quick break and we'll be right back on the Something Extra podcast with Liz O'Keefe.
Hey there. In a challenging business climate like this, savvy leaders look to technology to find an edge. This can mean the difference between staying ahead of the curve or playing catch up. It's time to collaborate with the highly skilled experts at Technology Partners. Our team of technologists draws upon decades of experience for your project, with each bringing a passion for solving problems and a track record of success. How can we help you overcome your biggest technology challenges? Visit technologypartners.net to book a free consultation with one of our leaders.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with my friend, Liz O'Keefe. We've been having so much fun. We've got so many things in common, truly, but this is not one we have in common because I'm a terrible tennis player, but Liz has grown up playing tennis and plays competitive tennis even now with her husband, Michael. I know you just love the game, but you know, Liz, try to translate that. What has tennis taught you that even translates into, you know, your leadership style, the work that you do now? I mean, what lessons have you learned from playing tennis?
You know what? That is the greatest question. Nobody has ever asked me that. But I have a great way to weave it all together. And that's that I think everybody has a tendency to go through life wondering, how is it the world related to how I perceive it, right? And what tennis has taught me, I'm a skilled tennis player, but what I'm always needing more on is what's happening on the other side of the net, what's happening with other people. And if I paid attention to what was happening over there, I would be so much better at my own execution. I'd have the ability to be in position. I'd have the ability to cut something off because I anticipated what was going to happen. And the more I do in leadership and the more that I do in just being of service, the more I realize it really doesn't have anything to do with me. It really doesn't. Mm-hmm. And if I just pay attention to what's happening out there and figure out ways to plug in how I can be of service to the people out there, that it all comes back as long as I continue to give God the glory for what's happening.
Yeah. Well, thank you for setting me up. That's a perfect segue, because now I want to talk about your faith journey. And Liz, it has been such a joy for me. And I've told you that I've watched you grow, and I've watched the transformation that's happened in your life. And I think, like, during the pandemic years is really when, I don't know, God really got a hold of you, and you saw that, hey, this is not religion. This is a relationship. And I have seen that desire and that yearning in you to just continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper. So tell me a little bit about your faith journey. I would love for you to tell our listeners, you know, how does it show up? How does it inform how you lead? How does it inform how you, you know, in your family and your goals and your values for your family? How does it inform why you work? See, I think, you know, when you have faith, that you're looking at things in a different perspective. So just go for it, girl.
You do. You know, if somebody were to tell me that I would be having this conversation 5 years ago, I would have thought that they were nuts, right? Because I have grown so much since then. And my entire life trajectory the purpose of it has changed. And so I think I am a little bit of a bridge between the people who don't understand all those religious people over there. I don't know what's going on over there, because I used to be that girl, and the girl who now gets it and even sometimes is leading from the front. And so I like to be able to have that conversation. I remember what it was like to feel like I wasn't connected to that. But there just came a time in my life where I was going through a really difficult time emotionally, and I lost my footing. I'm a really confident person, but I think God had to rip out the rug from underneath me to get me to pay attention. And for me to realize, you know, did you really think that you were doing all that on your own all this time? Did you really think you were that great? And there were a couple of times where he reached out and showed me precisely things that there's no way in the world that I would have known that. There's no way in the world that wasn't God-driven in that moment. And so for somebody like me, who's really hard-headed and very strong-willed, and, you know, you put your feet on the ground in the morning and you get it done. And you do, if it's to be, it's up to me. It's been that way my whole life. And I really, I am all those things, but through his grace, I'm able to accomplish so much more. And so I went through a really hard time. He showed me that he was there. And then I started paying attention. And then every time I'd hear a little whisper, maybe you should go in that direction, I started to pay attention. And it would get a little louder, and then I would get a little louder, and then I would show up on your calls, and I would explain that, and all the ladies would go, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. And then it would get reaffirmed, and then other beautiful things started happening. I realized that there was a community of people, of real vulnerable people, where it was okay to not be perfect. Mm. And we could do life together. And at a time where I had felt really alone for a very long time, you know, leaders, I think, we have the capability to go to lofty places, but there aren't a lot of people to talk to. And so I'm super grateful for the Rooted Sisters, because I've been able to connect with like type business leaders who also have the same vulnerable struggles. I mean, nobody's perfect, right? But nobody's talking about how we're not perfect. Because if we were to not talk about that, then people would know that it could chip away at their value of what it is that we might bring to the table. It could chip away at what they imagine we could be capable of in business or in our personal life. And so it's a continual struggle for people out there to put their best foot forward. I mean, look at social media and all the things that are happening. It's a complete, it's a facade of perfection that we put out there in the world. And there's something so beautiful about breaking the facade down and being vulnerable with people. And when you can do that and you realize that you can really be a real person and it's safe, then you have not only a community of people to support you in that, but you also realize that no matter what happens in business, no matter what happens in your personal life, it's going to be okay. Right? So I never got that. I thought it was just up to me. And that's why the weight of the world was on my shoulders. And that's why I was going through such a difficult time, because I thought I had to do it all. And there's no chance in the world that we can all do it all. We can't do it.
No, we can't.
It's amazing to, I have more joy in my life now in my 57th year with my totally imperfect body and all the things that are happening and more rest and more safety in my space right now in the middle of the world's biggest storm than I have had in my whole life. And that is just due to me opening up the door and being willing to listen to God's voice and follow where he led me.
And surrender, you know, it's a place of surrender. Yeah. Oh, Liz. Yeah. And so I'm just going to say this. I'm going to put it out there. If there are any listeners out there, it's not that we exclude men, but I'm not sure you'd be wanting to talk about the topics that we talk about. But, you know, the Rooted Sisters, you know, it's an amazing, amazing group of business women that really are every day trying to put Jesus at the center of everything they do and make him the center of their life and give him the glory for everything. So if you are someone out there that's feeling like Liz was feeling and didn't feel that connection, please reach out. The URL is therootedsisters.com. We've got a huge, Liz, right? We've got a huge Christian Business Women's Breakfast that's coming up on November 7th. Check it out. It'll be our sixth annual, and it's just amazing. But when you see all these women come together and we're all really, you know, we're different. There's difference, but there's a common thread, a common denominator, if you will.
These are the ladies that you've prayed for and begged for your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question even just to run into one of those ladies in public. Although it just, you know,
and we do all the time, don't we? I mean, you go to an event, you're like, oh my goodness, there's a Rooted Sister.
When you see that girl, it's a different kind of kind of bond. And I'm just going to throw it out there. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn if you're unsure or unclear, but maybe something on this podcast spoke to you and you thought, well, I might be interested in that, but I'd like to learn more about it. And you want to come to an event with me personally, I'd be happy to walk right in there with you and make it safe. There's nothing better than finding a group of people you can 100% be yourself with and do life with.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Absolutely. Well, I've got a couple more questions and then we're going to talk about something extra. But Liz, as I was thinking, cause I know Cameron's story, I know a little bit of Michael's story. And of course you and Michael, your husband. And I was thinking about it this morning. I was thinking, here's a common thread with the O'Keefe family. They're givers. You know, a given is just part of your family's DNA. Tell me about that. Why is it important? Tell me how you guys are given.
I think, you know, when we were raising our kids, it was always important to look outside of ourselves and be a little bit bigger than just our little nucleus. It's easy to get sucked into that. And I think if you go through something like a major struggle, it immediately opens that up. My daughter had brain surgery when she was 11, and that was a traumatic experience for her. But then later in life, she became an artist and she wanted to write a book about what it was like to feel like that all alone and to write some inspirational things about how, you know, how it's not always going to be like it feels right now on the 12th floor at Children's Hospital. And, you know, my son wanted to be able to help people who maybe wouldn't have had the means to have private lessons at a golf club. He wanted to help people learn how to play golf. And so we did a little of that. But I think my favorite part about service is what happened to us, my husband and me, in the transformation during COVID when we were traveling around on the countryside. I made promises on those days, those really lonely days out there, that if we were lucky enough to fill the seats in a live event space, that we would do inspirational work, that we would change lives in those seats. And it's important work for me now. It's mission-driven work that if it could be you know, a mom watching her daughter sing her first solo under lights that we installed in a theater, It could be a businessman who's watching a video in an opening, segment of a business session when he's left his family and he's traveling, but he somehow gets a light bulb moment that changes the trajectory of his business and moves his kids into a different zip code. Or it could be somebody hearing the voice of God for the first time through audio speakers that we installed in a house of worship. Those are moments that we get the luxury of helping to deliver. And that is work I'm super passionate about. And that's been the most inspirational wrap a bow on it ever that I could imagine coming out of the whole experience. Service is everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I'm going to do a quick lightning round with you.
Okay.
You and I both love this one word, or in my case, I adopted a mantra this year, but we love this. And I know for 2022, your one word was rebirth.
It was.
What's your word for 2023?
Transformation. We're rebuilding an entire team of people and with a whole new purpose and a whole new mission. And it is exciting.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you know, for listeners that don't know about the one word, go Google it. You'll learn more through that. What is, you have some leadership. What's the best leadership advice you've ever received? Ooh. Can you think of that?
Yeah. It's taking your blinders off. You have to be able to maybe reinvent yourself and to change maybe everything. I mean, I really think that, that there's nothing that is for you is going to feel foreign or out of alignment with your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important, but there's plenty of times you may need to really seriously change direction.
Yeah.
And we needed to completely reinvent ourselves during the pandemic. And if we hadn't been willing to change gears and completely change and have a brand new staff and do all the work that is required to rebuild and rebirth an entity that's been around for 35 years, we wouldn't be standing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. What would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Yes, you can.
Oh, that's good. I love that. Do you have a favorite Bible verse, Liz?
I do. It's Colossians 3:23, and it is, do everything in the world that you do as if you're doing it for the Lord himself.
That
has been kind of a motto that I'm weaving into just every part of my life. And it's about integrity first and doing everything for the right reasons, is doing everything that feels good in my soul and following nothing that doesn't.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Well, what are you most excited about right now?
I'm doing a top secret project about lighting the arch again. So you'll see, in a month or two, you'll see our grand, beautiful monument lit up like you have never seen it before.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's a little appetizer.
It is an appetizer. It's a good thing. Yeah, exactly. I'm really excited about that.
Wonderful. Well, I have to ask you, Liz, this is called Something Extra. What do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
Resilience and being able to think outside the box. I think I kind of already answered that a little bit, but I think if you're not willing to completely evolve at mm-hmm. every moment, then you're just going to coast downhill. There's never any time where you don't get to keep growing. You have to keep growing and you have to keep learning. Yeah. And you have to be able to widen your perspective and totally reinvent the coffee maker or the sewing machine or the vacuum cleaner in order to keep it going. Yeah. I mean, at some point things changed. We always did it this way. This is the way it's always been until somebody changed it. And it's about innovation and changing direction.
That's really good. Well, this has been so much fun. I have loved every minute with you, as I always do.
Me
so
too. Do we have to, can we just keep talking for the next hour?
We could. We could do a part two and a part three.
We could. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.